Well, how many of you realize that what Pastor or Brother Charlie's been sharing on the last couple nights is nothing new? But we need to be reminded of these things because we have an enemy who's very slick. I don't know about you, but I can say about me that because of the cares of life and deception that comes in and just our own lackadaisical lifestyle at times, we forget these things and we forget about the image that we're to keep before us and what God has called us to do. So I don't know about you, but this has been really, really good in stirring me back up and going, yes, and just saying, you know, Lord, forgive me because I have forgotten things that I know I'm supposed to be doing. Anyway, like he said, we've started pulling our prophecies out, and I read them over the other night, the ones that were given to me, especially, starting way back there several years ago and coming forward, and I was amazed that each word that was given was a stepping stone to the next one, and it just built upon that and came upon this one, and this one, and this one, showing the image of how God sees me and what he has for me. And it's the same thing for each one of you. He has an image and a plan for each one of you, and that he wants you to get that image inside of you so he can use you for the kingdom, even if it is here in Ulysses, Kansas. This is your world. This is your town. Take it for God, and don't let go of it. No matter what it looks like, don't let go of it. Anyway, turn with me to Daniel 10. I'm going to start reading in verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant food, no meat or wine came into my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Now on the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river that is the Tigris, I lifted my eyes and looked and beheld a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with gold of Uphaz. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like torches of fire, his arms and feet like burnished bronze in color, and the sound of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them, so that they fled and hid themselves. So here we see Daniel is fasting, and he is seeking for an answer to a situation in his life, and he's been fasting for 24 days, and the Lord appears to him. An angel of the Lord appears to him. Now, there were people with Daniel, but Daniel was the only one who saw him. These other people were fasting with him also, but Daniel alone saw this angel. Therefore, starting with verse 8, therefore, I was left alone, and I saw this great vision, and no strength remained in me, for my vigor was turned to frailty in me, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the sound of his words, and while I heard the sound of his words, I was in a deep sleep on my face, with my face to the ground. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands, and he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you, and stand upright, for I have been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of Persia, the kingdom of Persia, withstood me 21 days, And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. It is important as members of the body of Christ for us to learn how to discern the timings of the Lord for our lives. It is important for us to discern what God wants us to do, when He wants us to do it, and how He wants us to do it. Let's say the Lord may be dealing with you about getting out of debt, but He may be dealing with me about going into Him further to pull out the miraculous. Now, if I'm over here going to getting out of debt seminar, I don't think I'm in God's perfect timing, do you?
Right.
I need to be spending more time one-on-one with God. Not that this get out of debt seminar is wrong, because it is of God, because He wants you out of debt. But if He's dealing with you or me in a different area, and I'm over here, I'm not following the timing of the Lord. So we have to learn how to discern the time of the Lord for our individual lives. Now, Daniel, we see in this passage, set his heart to fast. And to fast no matter how long it took. Because he said he'd been fasting for 24 days. To me, it sounded like he was going to go until the answer came. No matter how long it took, he was going to fast. He didn't dress up. He didn't shave. He didn't go visiting. He set himself before the Lord. Now, for 3 weeks, he fasted. And for 3 weeks, he did not get an answer. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him and told him that the prince of Persia had come against him. Now, we are a supernatural people living in a natural realm. And the supernatural is all around us. It's more real than the natural realm is. Things happen in the supernatural before they even happen in the natural. So the angel is telling Daniel that his words were heard the very first day. God heard him. God heard his words. God wanted to answer that prayer. But the prince of Persia, who is a principality over an area, came against the angel, so he could not deliver the answer to Daniel. But Michael came because Daniel didn't quit. He was persevering. He was going to get his answer. Michael, one of the archangels, came to help this other angel come against this king of Persia, this principality. So Michael was withstanding this principality so the angel could come and deliver this message to Daniel. And when he gets there, he said, Daniel, greatly beloved. Wouldn't that be awesome? You set your face towards God. I mean, and you know what gets me about this? Daniel wasn't born again. Daniel didn't have the Holy Spirit. Daniel just loved God and set his face that he was going to serve his Jehovah. Here we have the Holy Spirit, and we're born again. But wouldn't that be awesome for an angel to come and explain why he was held up and said, greatly beloved? We're all greatly beloved. Whether an angel tells us or not, we're all greatly beloved. And that's how he feels about us. Now, Daniel had to stay in the presence of the Lord. And he had to discern the timing for himself. He had to hear what the Lord wanted him to hear for that particular time. Now, he could have stopped fasting after the first week when an answer didn't come. He could have stopped fasting after the second week when an answer didn't come. He could have stopped fasting even after the third week. That would have been 21 days because the answer didn't come. But he didn't stop. He set his face to get an answer. He decided to set himself apart. And I'm sure before he started into this fast, he was feeling some stirrings on the inside of us, on the inside of him, like he needed to be doing this. And I'm sure all of us, when we start feeling like the Lord is dealing with us about something, an issue, or wanting us to do something, we feel a stirring on the inside of us that we need to be going a certain direction, that we need to fast, we need to spend more time in prayer, we need to spend more time in worship, we need to be reading the Word more and meditating the Word. I don't know your situation, but I know I do. I get to feeling stirrings on the inside of me that I need to be going a certain direction to for Him to get an answer through to me. Okay. Do any of you ever feel that way? Or am I the only one that gets the feeling that way? Okay. Why don't you turn over to Luke with me? Luke 12. Verse 54. Then he also said to the multitudes, "Whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, 'A shower is coming,' and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, 'There will be hot weather,' and there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern the time?" Now Jesus has been teaching here and asked them, how is it that when a cloud has come up out of the west, you say it's going to rain? Or when a south wind blows, it's going to be hot? You can discern these things, but you can't even look spiritually and discern the time of the Lord. He's not talking about geographically there, but he is talking about where you, he's trying to get across where you're walking spiritually here. How is it that you can look at these things in the natural and discern them, but you can't, you know, discern these other things? And the answer is because we are highly motivated by our flesh. If we're not training ourselves in the things of God, praying, meditating, fasting, worship, if we're not training ourselves in these things, our flesh is going to control us and rule us more than our spirit man is going to. So if we don't train ourselves to these things, we're going to be flesh-ruled, carnal creatures, not moving forward in God at all. We'll keep walking in the natural realm. We'll keep seeing the natural realm, we'll keep hearing natural things, expecting natural things, and the supernatural and the person of God will walk right past us and we won't even know it because we haven't trained ourselves to hear Him, to see Him. But we don't want to live that way, do we? We want to go over and we want to say, "Jesus, show us. Speak to us. We want to rightly discern your time for our lives." Okay, turn over to Revelation with me. Revelation 4. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sit on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." So you see here, all of heaven is worshiping the Father. They don't get bored, and they don't get tired of worshiping Him. But here's the kicker. These angels and these created beings are not redeemed. They were created. They were created for a purpose. They were created to worship. But we have been redeemed. We have been bought with a price. We have been washed in the blood. Let's go on here just a little bit more over into chapter 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seal, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the numbers of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such are in the sea, and all of them I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living creatures said amen, and the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. We weren't put here just to raise a family. We weren't put here just to have a job, just to go to school. We weren't put here just to live and to die. We were put here for a reason. We were put here to fellowship with our God. And these creatures were created, but we have been redeemed. And when they worship God, he receives their worship. But when we worship God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit because of what he has done for us, because we've been redeemed out of a heart full of love, out of a heart of redemption, when we say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," it has a whole nother meaning, and it touches God's heart. Nowhere like the worship of the living creatures and the angels could ever touch his heart. Because we have a will. We were born again, and out of that will, we worship him and we honor him. Right there, we could go home. That's pretty awesome, in my opinion. Have you ever thought of that before? You know, the angels, that's why I read all that, because, you know, they do. They worship continually around the throne. I mean, we're in a time here, 24 hours a day in heaven, there is no time, but continually worship. But because we've been redeemed, because we have a will, we have a choice. And because of that choice, when we choose to worship, it takes on a whole nother meaning.
Yeah.
Thank you. Because God created Adam to fellowship with him. They enjoyed each other's company. Now, when God created Eve, it wasn't for that, per se, spiritual relationship. He created Eve for Adam. So Eve and Adam could have a relationship there. They could have a completed union, male and female. They could have a completed union. Eve was just a whole nother being, an intricate part of Adam. And I'm sure most of our husbands could say, that's an understatement for sure. So Eve was created to form that complete union and to be a companion. So when the fall took place and we had to be redeemed back to where we could have fellowship again with the Father, like Adam and the Father had, we had to receive him, we had to receive freely from him again. But to do that, it was more than just salvation. Salvation is just the starting place for us. There is a path called the Born Again Trail. And on that trail is a tree that's firmly planted. Now, the trunk is salvation, redemption. Then there are branches growing out from that trunk. And these branches are called praying in tongues. And these branches are called fasting, worship, meditation, confession of the word, healing, miracles, creative miracles, and on and on and on. See this tree just fully. You ever see one of those trees that comes out and just umbrellas out and it's so full and so beautiful? And you see this full, beautiful tree on the born-again trail. Then there's fruit that grows off these branches for people that pass by that they can take and reach up and they can eat and take from healing, from miracles, from the word, from salvation, from praying in tongues. So you see this picture of this tree. Now the branches cannot sustain themselves apart from the trunk. They receive life. They draw their nutrients from the trunk and from the earth. We draw our strength, our growth, from Jesus and the Father. It's important for each one of us to learn what God has called us to do. We, as individuals, need to start to learn how to discern the timings of the Lord for our individual lives. And we've been kind of touching along those lines this whole weekend with just being reminded about getting that image before you. Your call is God's image for your life. You've got to get that back out there before you. What has God told you? What has he been speaking to your heart about? What has he said to you in prophecy? I know I've been guilty of this, and I had to ask the Lord for forgiveness. I said, you know, I have taken your words lightly. Through the years, you have given me so many precious words, and I took them lightly. I did not take them seriously, what you were saying to me. And so, because I've matured more since then, thank God, hopefully, I've got a long ways to go. But, you know, when I was reading these things, I could see God's image for me, step by step, it was little by little. And he was trying to bring me out of severe intimidation, severe problems with my self-worth, that he could never, ever use me, ever, because I wasn't worthy enough. I didn't have enough in me for him to use. I'm sorry, I'm just bearing my heart to you right now, huge. You just don't know. Cindy knows, David knows, what I've been through to get to this point in my life, even up to a few years ago. I couldn't have done this. When we were pastoring in Ulysses, I couldn't do this. I didn't want to do it, and I couldn't do it. Because my self-image. So, each one of us, God has given us something. And as I read through those prophecies, I could look back and see how he was trying to create an image for me to look at how he wanted me to be, what he has for me. And duh, I'm finally getting it. It's taken years, but I am finally catching it, you know? And I don't want you to have to spend years. You know, some of you may have. And, you know, today's a new day. Today is a new day. And you can start right now with that new image inside of you. What he wants to do. Each one of you are precious. He wants to use each one of you. It may not be behind here. And that doesn't matter. Because there are going to be some rewards given in heaven that are going to be greater for those people who were behind the scenes that nobody knew about, than from some of the biggest evangelists that you have ever known on TV. It's those hidden parts in the body. Nothing is too small or insignificant for him. We all have a place. We all have a part. So to discern the times of the Lord for your life, you need to have a relationship with Him. You need to be seeking His face. You need to be praying in tongues. You need to be fasting. You need to be worshiping. You need to be confessing. You need to be doing these things that we know we are to be doing. We have to do them. Nobody else can do them. God can't do them, and He's just not going to drop them off. He's given them there. He says, okay, now what are you going to do about it? We are living in a day and an age where Paul, Peter, James, and John, all of them, would have and did long to see. What a privilege we have to be living in this time, these days today. Let's not sleep through it or become numb. Let's not be lukewarm to the message of truth in the walk of the Spirit. Well, I've seen miracles, and I've heard the Spirit message walk, and I've been praying in tongues, and it just hasn't done much good for me. You know what? Then you really haven't been doing it, or you just have such a lukewarm attitude. You know, let's not have a lukewarm attitude. Because if we have lukewarm attitude, we're not going to make it. We're living in an age. We're coming down to the final run. We're living in an age. I can't tell you when it's going to happen, but we're coming down to that point. And it's going to take everything within us and hearing God's voice clearly to be able to make a stand and to live through whatever may come. See, just because it's the nice thing to do. The Lord wants us to have a hunger and a passion inside of us. He wants us to be serving Him. And as we develop that hunger and passion, the Holy Spirit wants to begin to reveal to you as individuals gifts and abilities that are already on the inside of you. I can testify to that. The things that the Lord has spoken to me through these words, I would have never dreamed. He wants to, is and wants to use me in the capacity that He wants to use me. I'm the only one standing in the way. I've got to get in there more to where He can be able to do those things through me. The Holy Spirit wants to peel off the layers as you allow Him that have been covering your life, just like that onion. He wants to peel them back. Layer by layer, taking them off. He wants to bring forth gifts and abilities that you don't even know exist on the inside of you. But you have to seek Him. You have to spend time with Him. You have to do it for yourself. Ruby.